You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, May 2nd, 7 a.m., Middle Fork Willamette River, Elijah Bristow State Park. This year's arrival of spring in the Pacific Northwest has been characterized by unseasonably cool and wet weather. A faint blue cast in this morning's cloud cover bears a vague hint of transparency, suggesting that it is likely to disintegrate, allowing sunshine to eventually break through. Despite the lingering wintry weather, the riparian forest has responded on schedule with a riotous luxuriance. Cottonwoods, maple, and ash are joining the evergreen firs and cedars to fill in the mixed canopy with newly minted leaves. Dangling pink pantaloon-shaped bleeding heart blossoms and yellow violets enliven the sheltered gloom of the forest floor. Pagoda-like horsetails and unfurling sword ferns lend a prehistoric ambience to this tunnel-like woodland path. A red-brown forest snail glides over a moss-covered log. Eyes positioned on dynamically shifting stalks probe its intimate surroundings. A beautifully patterned swirling shell rests upon its slime-coated back. It seems impossible that this vulnerable creature can withdraw its naked body completely inside this miniature hardened fortress, but mollusks have a special capacity for conveniently expanding and contracting their bodies into and around physical barriers that have served them well for hundreds of millions of years. Migrant songbirds are beginning to arrive in the valley. Warblers, vireos, tanagers, and grosbeaks flit evasively through the canopy. These birds are either passing through or staking out territory in hopes of breeding. It takes a great degree of concentration to watch these energetic sprites dart between branches with their deceptively arbitrary routes. As leaves grow larger, providing more cover, viewing becomes even more difficult. A separate group of birds inhabit the shadowy realm below the canopy. Wrens, sparrows, nuthatches, woodpeckers, and thrushes all make their living closer to the ground. There are exceptions to this stratification. A Catholic gathering of Audubon's warblers, golden-crowned sparrows, and robins bathe and drink together from a shallow, elevated pool stranded in a rocky flood channel. As I approach the river, the sound of rushing water drowns out forest birdsong. This is one of the few stretches of the lower Willamette with fast-moving white water. A half-mile downstream, a man stands waist-deep, casting his line back and forth over the shallows. There are still annual runs of salmon and steelhead here. Dexter Dam forms in a natural barricade 5 miles upstream, but this park holds a network of meandering back channels and sloughs that serve as nurseries for native fish. At my feet, just below the surface, caddisfly larvae with shells made of bits of vegetation pasted to their backs leave tiny trails as they crawl over algae-covered rocks. Across the river, a turkey vulture rises effortlessly, floating on extended wings into the brightening sky. An osprey, recently arrived from tropical rainforest wintering grounds, passes overhead on its way upstream. A flock of common mergansers preen calmly and dive for fish in a serene pool of slow-moving water, sheltered from the rapids by a gravel bar. Birdwatchers, wine lovers, and nature enthusiasts are invited to the 5th Annual Fern Ridge Wings and Wine Festival on Saturday, May 8th, near Veneta. A wide array of activities will be held throughout the day at Domaine Merriweather's new winery and nearby Fern Ridge Reservoir, one of Oregon's best birding areas. The day's schedule includes bird and nature walks, hands-on workshops, educational talks, children's activities, and a wine-tasting bus tour. For more information, go to www.wingsandwinefestival.com. If you have sightings or events you would like to report, or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.